Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. We continue our study of this book of Revelation. Today we look at the church at Philadelphia. What an awesome worship service this morning. Pointed toward Jesus. And that's what it's about, you know. It's all about Jesus. Thank you for the specials and song. It never ceases to amaze me. I know people don't sing for us, for me. But boy, when they sing to the Lord, I sure am blessed. How about you? You just can't worship the Lord together and not be blessed. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word about this church at Philadelphia? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. And to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar of the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Do you notice anything different about this text? It's a little different than the churches before. We're getting through our study of the churches here, and every time before, the opening as he addresses each church is one way. But here it's different. Did you notice that with this church at Philadelphia, there's no "I have somewhat against you" or "I have against you"? There's nothing like that. Everywhere else there's been that correction, you know. But here, it's like, good job. Keep on keeping on. There are churches who are doing it right. Do you know that? There are servants of the living God who are dedicated and committed to His service. And that's the way that this church here was in Philadelphia. So he begins and he reminds them, he begins with what I would consider a renewed vision. Telling them, remember who I am. "These things," he said, "these things says he who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David and opens and shuts. He who is holy." Now we know we're talking about Jesus here, right? He who is holy. What does it mean to be holy? Well, let's just renew our vision of who Jesus is. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be sacred, set apart. The idea, the concept with there's no one like Jesus. Isn't Jesus precious? Now, there are a lot of causes in the world. Now, you step out of this facility and you can pick up on any cause that you want to pick up on. You know, there's causes for cancer and causes to help the starving in Africa and causes. It just goes on and on. But all that's good. But I want to tell you, there is one cause that will change your life. And that is the cause of Jesus Christ. He's precious, sacred, holy. No one like him. He's true, meaning genuine. He's the real thing. You know, there are a lot of religions in the world today. But there's only one true religion. There's only one Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one God, God the Father, and His Son is Jesus Christ. And he has the key. That idea of the key there carries with it the authority to open doors. Now we're getting good. Okay? The holder of the key determines what's opened and what's closed. The holder of the key determines who is allowed in and who is allowed out. He admits and he excludes at his good pleasure. Now, I want you to think of all these three. And I want you to consider for just a few moments who Jesus is. See, we need to just get back to the basics sometimes and remember it's about Jesus. Amen? I mean, a worship service is not a good worship service because there was good singing. It's not a good worship service because of the message. It's a good worship service because God's people come into the presence of Jesus Christ and they worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what makes a good worship service. It's all about Jesus. And it's this same Jesus who has the key or the authority to open doors of ministry for a church. And you know, we need to look for what God opens up to us. You know it? We need to, I mean, I've heard people say, "Brother Doug, I know that God has something special for me to do, and I'm searching." You ever heard that? Well, I would suggest, if you know that God has something special for you to do, that's nothing new. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life. Every child of His, He has a plan and a purpose. Amen? Nothing new. But it's no secret, His plan for your life. What you have to do is you have to look at where you are and look at the doors that God is opening where you are. And get involved where you are. You know, I I've seen people wander around looking for that special purpose that God has for them. Listen, God doesn't send everybody to Africa. You know it? Aren't you glad? Can I get an amen? Boy, wouldn't it be tough if we all had our plane tickets to Africa? Start to say bus tickets. That'd be a tough trip, wouldn't it? It would. God doesn't do that. But God does use every one of His children in a special way. And He uses them where He places them. He opens doors. He closes doors that are right for you and for your ministry. And I want to tell you something else. It's not a democracy. Come on. It's not a democracy. I've heard so often people say, "Well, I don't want to do that." Well, it's not a democracy. The doors that God opens around you, the doors that God opens within this church, He opens. And we, as God's children, have a responsibility to be ready to go through that ministry door, whatever that door may be. Say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will minister." God is not looking for your opinion, nor mine. He doesn't seek your counsel. I can just imagine Moses, you know, and we kind of have this mentality. Have you ever thought, I don't want to get involved with that. I don't want to do that. Well, you need to be careful. Because that you don't want to get involved with just might be the door that God has opened for you. I can only imagine, you know, when the story of Moses, as God decided to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity, and He put that burning bush before Moses, and Moses went to see that burning bush. God told him, "Put off your shoes from off your feet. The ground whereon you stand is holy ground." So Moses took his shoes off, and he approached that burning bush. And as he approached, God told Moses, "Moses, I've got an idea. I want to run by you and see what you think about it." Is that what he said? No. No. He told Moses that he was going to deliver his children from Egyptian bondage. And Moses, I have chosen you to be the man to do it. Now Moses, see, he wasn't fully convinced with this not a democracy idea at the beginning. He said, Lord, send someone else. Lord, send anyone else but me. Finally, God got his point across that it's not a democracy. It's not intended for us to pick and choose where we serve and what we serve and how we serve. Noah, God didn't tell Noah, Noah, I'm thinking about raining. You want to build a boat? God didn't say, tell the Apostle Paul, I'm considering taking the gospel to the Gentile people. What would you think of being a preacher for me? No. God says, here it is. Here's the door. Here's the door. Now it's our responsibility to walk through it. And I tell you, God is opening doors at Victory. It's amazing. You know, I mean, as a matter of fact, if you just really back up, it's fun to watch what God's doing here. Amen. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm so excited about the college students this year. My goodness gracious. There were 50 something college students here last Wednesday night. Super. Listen, I love you guys. I can hang around y'all a little bit and make me feel a little younger. I like feeling younger, you know. But God is opening a college ministry here. We need to be ready to step through those doors and equip these young students with the gospel. Equipping them to live for the honor and the glory of God. And not just college students, but the teen ministry. I walked past the Wednesday night, the teen room, the old sanctuary. And I was like, wow. What a good group of kids. What a great group. And Awana, my goodness. Did you step back and see the Awana kids Wednesday night? Man, what a blessing. What a door that God is setting before us. And it's not just children. We have the adult Bible study. This attendance is doing pretty well. Senior adults ministries. But my point is this. Look what God is doing right here where you are and say, God, I want to be involved in what you are doing at Victory. I want to be a part of your program because, my friends, the call goes out. Who shall I send and who will go for me? We're always putting announcements and putting out word. We need someone to serve here or there. Who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. Through that open door, I want to go. I want to serve you. I want to tell you, with open doors comes responsibilities. You know that? I believe in stewardship. Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. I believe with all my heart that our the doors that God opens depends upon our faithfulness to respond to the doors that He opens. He who opens is also he who closes. You know? There's not a ministry in this church that we can afford to let fall by the wayside. Not one. Not one. I praise God for the open doors. Second, praise God for a renewed commitment. Here, this church, he said, you have a little strength. It actually says you have little strength. It's not a compliment. It wasn't about what they could do. I'm glad it's not about what we can do, aren't you? I mean, it's not the success of Victory Missionary Baptist Church is not based on your abilities nor mine. But he says here, you have little strength. These believers at the church at Philadelphia were not the upper crust of society. They were not the powerful government officials. They were not the E.F. Huttons. When they speak, you know, people listened. Wasn't any of that. These were just kind of your basic, average people. But the way he describes this and the way it's originally written, from the sentence construction, it meant they have kept my word and are keeping my word and will keep my word. It's that idea of consistency. You see, there was these folks in Philadelphia, they were consistent. When God would set before them, He said, "Behold, I've set before you an open door." They were those, "Okay, let's go. Let's go minister. Let's go serve the Lord." How do you have that kind of consistency in ministry? Day in, day out, are you consistent in your service to the Lord? No matter where you are you declaring Jesus to the world by the life that you live? Do they look at you and say, "Wow, he belongs to Jesus Christ and I want what he's got"? Are you that consistent? I've come to realize when it comes to consistency and commitment, you can't make people be committed. Have you noticed that? And I tell you something else, you can't guilt them into commitment. Preacher, you ever had one of those messages that you left feeling guilty? You know how long that works? Maybe a week if you're lucky. And that guilt wears off. You know what you've got to do, or what we must do, as far as becoming consistent? Consistency is based upon a foundation of love. Okay? It's when we love Jesus. And I preached a few weeks ago how that love is a choice. You realize that, right? It's not just some little emotion that you look at young people today and they love one another. One of my favorite questions to ask in marriage counseling is, "Why do you want to marry this guy?" And she'll look at him and say, "Because I love him." And say, "Let's see what happens in 25 years, hon. You'll still love him, but you'll know what love means by then, because you'll have to make a choice along the way of dedication and commitment." But you know, our problem is, it ceases to be about love and the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what happens to our commitment. That's why our commitments fall by the wayside. You know, your entire Christian service is based on love. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and the great commandment. It's all built upon the love of Jesus. Everything you do. You say, "Well, Brother Doug, I just don't understand why people don't faithfully attend church." I do. I've got the answer. I know what the problem is. People don't love Jesus. Okay? "Well, Brother Doug, who do you think you are telling me I don't love Jesus?" I'm not telling you don't love Jesus. The Lord's just taking what I said and applying it to your heart. Okay? But see, here's the deal. When you love someone, it shows. Okay? Love is a verb. It's an action word. I love Beth, therefore I show her. Not nearly enough, but I do. I love my children, therefore I show them. And if we say we love Jesus, my friends, that love should show by what we do. Why don't people faithfully attend church? Because they choose not to love Jesus. Why don't people tithe? Oh, you knew I was going there, didn't you? Because we choose not to love Jesus. Why don't we witness? Because we choose not to love Jesus. You see, if we don't get that love right, our commitment is not going to be right. This church at Philadelphia, you know what Philadelphia means? Raise your hand if you know what Philadelphia means. Y'all are shy. You know, it's a brotherly love, right? Yeah, brotherly love. This church's name was love. And my friends, they were the church that they were because of their love for Jesus. See, that's what we've got to decide today. Do we love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Think about it. Are you ready to walk through those doors that He opens? Are you ready to say, yes, Lord, I'll chase the little ones in Awana. Yes, Lord, I'll minister to the teens. Yes, Lord, I'll support college ministries. Yes, Lord, I'll faithfully attend Sunday school. Yes, Lord. The call goes out. Whom shall I send and who shall go for me right here in Russellville, Arkansas? Are you ready? Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I love you. Open the door. Open the door. Then let's look at the renewed promise. Verses 9 through the rest of it, just filled with promise. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Grab a hold of this. One of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Now you can sit here today, lost person who's never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you can put it off, or you can refuse, or you can fight, or you know, whatever you want to do. But I want you to grab hold of this. One of these days, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, Romans 14:11, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? And it's kind of like that old transmission commercial, probably showing my age. You know, you can pay me now or pay me later. Listen, you can acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior today before it's too late. Or you can wait till later when it's too late, but you will bow. And see, the good news about this is he says, and everybody's going to know that I have loved you. He's talking to his children. You know what? I like to be right. How about y'all? I like to be right. When I was an air traffic controller, they taught us one thing. Now, they taught us several things, but one of the first things you learn is that you were never wrong. Period. Mistake? You didn't make mistakes. Why? Because people's lives were, you know, in your hands. And whatever you did, it was the right call. And you would argue with anybody until way hours of the morning, because you just never made a mistake. And so since then, you see, for years I was in that. And so there's probably still a little touch in that of me being, you know, not liking to be wrong and being tough to admit when I'm wrong. Beth will tell you. But I'll just be honest with you, I like being right. Don't you? I like being right. One of these days, child of God, who's committed, serving, and dedicating himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you serve with the knowledge of one of these days, everybody's going to know you were right. Jesus is going to show the world that that was my child. That's the one I love. He was the one that was serving, and He was the one that was right. And again, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And those of us who serve Jesus Christ with their lives and their hearts, I just feel like we're going to be swelled up and blessed at that point. When Jesus declares to the universe, that's my boy. That's my child. That's the one I loved. And he goes on here. He goes down the list. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Do you realize there's a place of importance in eternity for the child of God? And And grab this, okay? There are a lot of people that have the concept, well, if I just make it to heaven, that'll be enough. Listen, no. Okay? It's not about just making it to heaven. It's about honoring and glorifying God with our all. And when we get to heaven, hearing that, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And when he says here, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, he's talking about giving us a special place of importance and significance in his heavenly kingdom. I will write on him my name. Brother Doug, what's that name? I don't know if he'd have told us if he wanted us to know. But one thing I do know, what a privilege it'll be to wear the name of Jesus Christ in heaven. It'll be worth it. It will be worth it all. And listen, the way he closes this, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, listen, my friends, this isn't an option. The way it's translated, you kind of get the concept. Well, you know, if you want to listen, no, it's an imperative. It's he who has an ear must hear. You listen and know that what he's saying to the churches is true. Know this. This church at Philadelphia is the kind of church that we want to be at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. God is opening doors. Let us be faithful stewards of the ministries that he opens, and let us glorify God with all our might as we serve. Amen. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me offer you this. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You can give your life to the Lord today and make your life worth living. Or my friends, you can wait till later when it all comes crashing down. You see, one thing he told them in this passage is that he would keep them from the hour that shall try the entire earth. Listen, there's coming a day that we call the tribulation period. Times are going to get tough. Okay? God's judgment will be poured out upon this earth. The good news is he's keeping them from this hour. He's talking about this church at Philadelphia. I believe. Okay, and in a couple of weeks we get to the to this part of the rapture. God's church is not going to be here at that point. We're going up. Leave our shoes behind, smoking with emptiness, you know, as he snatches us out from this earth. Are you a child of God? Are you ready to go? If not, God's calling you to salvation today. That if you'll just call upon him in prayer, he'll save you. Maybe you're here today and you know you've not had the commitment that you should have. Or you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Or you've never followed through on the commitments that you made. Listen, today's a new day. Time for repentance. Time to say, take your stand and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll be your messenger. I'll be your worker. I'll be your soldier. I'll walk through the door, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Whatever your spiritual need is, will you respond to God's invitation? Heavenly Father, I praise you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for loving us and for the doors that you have set before us open. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you that you've given to us and the wonderful ministries that you've placed before us. Help us to be faithful stewards and to honor and glorify you with our service. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray.